I'm Jamie, a.k.a. Scumboy.
I'm Andrew Walsh, a.k.a. Bat Phantom.
I'm Kevin, a.k.a. Neon Nazgul from the Operation Pug Podcast.
A proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs, because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
All right, welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast that confided with Sly, and now we are the wiser. My name is Jason, and joining me this evening are Adam and usually Dave. What have you been up to this week, guys?
I've been sick.
Yeah, Dave's been sick. I've been working.
Working for a living.
Well, Dave's been sleeping on the couch, you and I have been working.
Yep. Dave's been watching Netflix and eating popcorn and feeling like crap. And
no popcorn. I didn't eat much of anything today, to be honest. Oh,
Dave's losing weight.
Yeah, I wish. I've got plenty to go, but we're going to power through it. So,
yeah, you caught up on Golden Girls, right? You're all up
to
date now?
I've already been through that series about three times. So.
Yeah, I got to bring it up every week, you know, because it's my go-to joke for you.
Well,
yeah.
You guys are starting the Golden Girls podcast, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's, you know, we're just going to have to go back and just, you know, watch the first episode, talk about it, because, you know, there's nothing coming up. I mean, half of them are dead, I think, right?
Yeah, all of them except for...
Yeah, it's the Dead Ahead podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's her name? She's going to be dead soon.
Betty White.
Yeah, man, she just keeps on. She's like the Energizer Bunny, man.
Right.
All right, well, why don't we get this sucker going this evening? And, hey, want to refresh us on last week's riddle?
Yeah, I can do that. So the riddle was, George, Helen, and Steve are drinking coffee. Bert, Karen, and Dave are drinking soda. Is Elizabeth drinking coffee or soda?
And I think Adam said coffee and I said soda. Is that correct?
I didn't know. So Cody.
You had it right the first time.
Against the grain.
See, I messed you up with it. We should have done that.
I know it was Cody. He had guessed coffee, I think.
No. He did guess coffee.
So I had guessed Brando from that movie, Idiocracy.
That's right.
I was wrong.
I liked, was that power drink they were drinking? Yeah.
Brando. It's what plants crave.
Yeah. Like, why isn't stuff growing in our field?
You're putting toilet water on them?
Hey, what was the movie with Soylent? It was called Soylent Green, right?
Yes, yep. Exactly. Soylent Green is people. Yeah. Oh, spoilers.
I haven't seen it yet.
Do you know that there is actually a protein drink basically out there right now that is called Soylent?
Oh, it's people, dude.
I don't know what it is, but I haven't tried it. But I know a lot of people like it for their protein drink needs, but kind of like those meal replacement type shakes, you know? Anyways. Yeah,
I thought I heard a few years back that they were going to actually remake that movie, but I haven't heard anything recently.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with that. So,
but yeah, back to the riddle. So we did get a submission this week.
Yeah.
It's probably somebody new, I bet. Somebody that's never sent anything in before. So let's go ahead and play it and see what it is.
Good evening. This is Captain Poland speaking again, and I have an answer to your riddle. Because Elizabeth spent a wild night with George, Helen, and Steve, she's definitely drinking coffee. Now also, there is, in all those four names, there's two E's in every name, but not in Bert or Karen or Dave. Sorry, Dave. I guess Elizabeth doesn't like you. Or doesn't like soda. Either
doesn't
way,
like Dave.
She's
I'll go
definitely
ahead.
Drinking coffee. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're not going to save somebody or no mission? What the heck?
Yeah, the funny part is this Dave doesn't drink soda, and if I'm going to drink something, it's usually going to be coffee or tea or something like that. So, ironic riddle, but as usual, Captain Poland is correct, along with Cody's guess last week, and that is the reason. There is the letter E appearing twice in her name, as it does for the other people with George, Helen, and Steve, so...
Now, Captain Poland, he actually explained why. Mm-hmm. I think Cody just guessed. I don't think he had any rhyme or reason to what he was saying.
Maybe, but...
I'll have to talk to him, but I think he just threw it out there.
That could be, but at the end of the day, it's still a right answer, so...
I guess.
Gotta give it to both of them. Yeah, go ahead.
Cody was a good guest.
Yeah, he was a lot
of fun. Yeah,
he was a fun guy. That would be cool to have him back on the show.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
Yeah, not too soon, though. You know, I'm a little tired of the Codester.
I know. Oh, you know what I mean? Oh, kidding, Cody.
What a mean post.
I'm sure I'm going to get a tweet about that.
I hope he tweets
message.
You.
Really? You're tired of me?
Hashtag Codester. Hashtag Kobe Beef.
In order for him to tweet you, though, you've got to actually be on Twitter. So
I did. I reinstalled Twitter on my phone. So I've been yeah. seeing all the stuff that's been going on lately.
And Dave, I did tweet something today. I didn't just do a retweet. I typed something into Twitter.
I saw.
280 characters or 140?
Like 12.
Yeah, it was a little 12. More. I think it was, I'm new to Lightroom and I'm really enjoying it or something along those lines.
Hard hitting, guys. Hard hitting.
Yep.
Yes.
You're welcome. That is cool. Well, I've got a new riddle for you guys here.
Oh, let's hear it.
This one... It makes me want to read it in like a limericky type thing, but it's not that. So I'm just going to
read it.
I don't know.
Do it with an Irish accent then.
Yeah, I can't normally, and let alone when I'm feeling like crud. So I'll pass that on, but to Adam for his accent duties. But the riddle this week is white bird, featherless, flying out of paradise, flying over sea and land, dying in my hand. What is it?
Wow, that's like a haiku.
One more time.
Haiku. That's a little too long for a haiku. It was again, white bird, featherless, flying out of paradise, flying over sea and land, dying in my hand. What is it?
I know.
Okay.
It was a great song from, boy, this was, I can't remember what decade this was from, but it was, "May the bird of paradise fly up your nose. May an elephant caress you with its toes."
Well, no.
Is that a real song?
It is, actually. I can't remember. I think it's just called Bird of Paradise.
Sounds like something out of the 50s or 60s, maybe.
Does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
That's little Jimmy Dickens, "May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose."
Isn't that two types of music, both country and Western?
Yes, I think
yeah,
so.
Okay. Okay.
Oh man, now you make me hungry for salad.
You didn't say anything about salad. Russians, yeah.
Yeah, you guys didn't believe me. There was Russian dressing, and there is.
Yeah, yeah. I want to try it. People say it's real tasty with burgers, ironically, but the one that's the creamy Russian. It's got like the sounds like it has mayo mixed in. But anyways, we're way off topic.
Oh no, we're always talking about burgers around here.
Well, you know, fitness burger. Yeah.
But you know, when you have that nice big juicy burger, you get a little thirsty, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what quenches the thirst more than anything?
Brando.
Depends.
What was that? I didn't hear what Dave said.
He said depends.
I said it depends, and Adam said Brando.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, not like old people diapers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. No, nothing quenches my thirst more than melted ice from Mars. Are you guys with me here?
Yeah.
Nice big glass of melted ice from Mars.
Thanks for taking over Segways. I had one job.
Okay, I had to do the first one though because
all right. I'll try to step up my game.
As everybody knows, I am the go-to guy on the Gunna Geek Network when it comes to space. I am the one. I am totally the one that knows everything to do with space and space travel and you know anything has to do with solar systems and you know.
Are you just saying you really like Star Trek?
Yeah, exactly. I do. I love Star Trek, actually. And that's one of the reasons why I love Star Trek, is because it takes place in space. Hmm. And my other favorite show was Space 1999.
The Final Frontier.
Yes. Okay, no. I just had to do that for Stargate Pioneer. I thought he'd, you know, he'd think it's a little bit like, funny. But no, this story, as soon as I read the headline, I thought of Stargate, because I'm sure that he talked about it on his show. I did listen to the most recent show, and I don't think he talked specifically about this. He did talk about Elon Musk and the manned mission to Mars in 7 years. And that's why I thought about this story was so amazing, is they have actually there was a spacecraft. It was called the NASA Odyssey spacecraft. It was functioning between 2002 and 2009. All kinds of images have come back from it, but they've been reevaluating those images that came back, and they have come to the conclusion that there is more ice on Mars than what they originally thought, I guess, around the poles. Now there's, you know, some of the pictures show up the show all the dried riverbeds. I guess there was a lot of water on Mars at one time. And I really wish we had Stargate here to explain all this to, you know, our listeners who might not be listening to.
Our listeners might not be listening to us.
No, our listeners might not be listening to, you know, the Gunna Geek show. So they don't get all this space information, you know. So if Stargate was here, he could, you know, be explaining it, you know, in more detail and stuff.
I think
they should be.
I don't know if he talked about Mars, but I want to say I remember hearing him talk in the last week or two about, I thought it was the moon, where they're finding water showing up on the surface of the moon, and they don't know where it's coming from, if it's coming from underground, if it's coming from basically out in space like condensation. But the Mars one, yeah, that's pretty crazy, because if they find more and more there, who knows?
Well, that's the big thing with a trip like this planned to Mars, you know, a manned trip to Mars. The only water that you're going to have for this trip there, back, and your stay there, is what you bring with you.
Yeah.
Unless you can find water, you know, at your destination. And so this is great news for our travels to the red planet.
So they can drink it?
Well, I'm sure they're going to have to do some type of purification, and they're going to have to melt, you know, they're going to, it's ice.
Bring the Brita filter, Jerry. We're going up to Mars.
No, just bring a tampon and suck it through that.
Oh,
haven't you seen that survival tip?
They're not vampires.
Haven't you seen? Not a used one. That's a legit camping survival tip. You know, if you don't have one of the fancy, like, straw type filters.
Okay, Adam's gagging, I think, right now.
If you don't have one of the fancy, like, survival straw type filters, you can actually, in a pinch, using a clean, unused tampon, and it'll filter out your water to at least get rid of some of the garbage that's in it if you were caught in a situation where you're out in the woods with no water. So
with large sediment and stuff in it, it wouldn't be able to purify it in any.
No.
Wow.
But this is great news, you know, coming, you know, in the scientific community right now, because it is, you know, we're destroying this planet. We know that. We're going to destroy it. I mean, just like all the movies have foretold, we're probably like the movie Idiocracy. Someday we're going to become so stupid, the whole planet's just going to be a big trash can. So we're going to need...
They made a movie about that, too. It's called WALL-E.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember that. Yeah. I've listened to a little bit of, you know, what Stargate has been talking about this, and he talks about Elon Musk a lot. Do you guys know who this guy is? I had to do some research to find out everything about him, because I'm just not in that world.
He's the guy from, he's that inventor guy.
Tesla.
Yeah, well, he actually didn't invent
SpaceX.
The Tesla. Or
SpaceX.
SpaceX. That is his company, yeah.
So they're privatizing space travel, if I understand that right.
Yeah, well, they have to, since they shut NASA down, or, you know, totally underfunded it. But yeah, that's his company, and he's had a lot of hits and misses. I was on the website earlier today, the SpaceX.com website, and, you know, reading a bunch of different stuff about it. Now, he is also one of the primary members of Tesla with their electric cars. He didn't invent the company, but he's a 27% stockholder in the company, which gives him a controlling portion of the company. So basically he is kind of controlling everything that goes on, even though he only owns 27% of it.
Right.
And he looks like he's a, I don't know how old he is, but I did see some pictures of him. He looks like a pretty young guy to be having two major companies like this, especially one like SpaceX. They've already successfully, I guess, made a couple of trips up to the International Space Station, taking, you know, equipment up and bringing it back down. Now, I guess in about 5 years, SpaceX is planning on sending an unmanned, I guess, what did they have? Oh, I didn't write down the names of them. They had like the Falcon. Oh, what were some of the other names? But anyway, whatever their space shuttle, their delivery system is called, they're going to send it over there first unmanned. And then 2 years later, they're planning on a manned trip. So that's about 2024, 2025, sweet. Something like that.
I'm actually pretty excited. When I was a kid and, you know, NASA growing up in the 80s, the space shuttle stuff and space exploration, I was always excited about this. That's really tapered off. And, you know, you talk to people like, well, this money could go to better places and we need to keep exploring.
Oh, we do. Definitely.
The space program has introduced so many advantageous technologies to mankind.
Exactly.
And finding more resources and understanding how our world and universe works is only going to make it better for us. And this is great to hear.
I wasn't joking when I said that the reason why I love things like Star Trek and any of the different space dramas, you know, of course you got to say Star Wars too in there, but all of them is because.
Have you guys watched that space drama, Star Wars?
Yeah, well, it is a space drama. What are you gonna call it?
With Luke Starkiller?
Yeah, Luke.
Anyway, go on.
Han did shoot first, by the way. But anyways, it's always piqued my interest. And I've joked over my 46 years on this planet, I've joked that, you know, before I was married and had kids, that if they ever needed to colonize another planet and they were taking volunteers, I'd be one of the first because I'd want to get.
Great. How would we do a podcast then?
Jason's on a 38-minute delay. I don't know what the time is to communicate to Mars, but it's probably a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
Or no, you know what? Earth to Mars, I wasn't too far off. 3 to 21 minutes. That's not too shab. Not too shab.
You know, but I thought it was interesting that they're finding water on Mars. I, you know, when I saw that headline, I'm like, dang, man, that's awesome. Because, you know, what they've always said, and Stargate will tell you this too, but I mean, all kinds of like Neil deGrasse Tyson and, you know, Bill Nye the Science Guy. You know, all the greats have said that wherever there is water, wherever there is hydrogen, there's life. So if there's water on Mars, there was some sort of life on Mars, or still is. You know, it could be microbial or whatever, but there's still life. Well,
there's no guarantee of that, but
if there's water, there's life, dude. That's what all the great scientists say.
Did they really?
Yes.
All right.
If there's water, there's life. Hmm. Well, you know, Stargate, if you listen to this, go ahead and, you know, give us a little tweet, direct message, whatever, and let me know if I'm way off base, but I swear that's what I've heard. Where there's water, there's life. So, all right.
Well, interesting, though.
I'm thinking if you have, and I don't know, I'm not the scientist here, but don't you have to have other material for complex molecules and things like that for life to occur versus just water?
Well, you need the proper environment. You need the proper environment. You need water. But who's to say that Mars does not have the proper environment for whatever living organism is there?
Right, but
I saw Total Recall, and those dudes' eyes bulged right out of their head.
And how long are you staying?
2 weeks. Okay, but that's all because they are not. We are not from Mars. It's just like, you know, when Superman comes over from Krypton, he has all these superpowers because of the, what is it, Dave? The
yellow sun.
Well, the yellow sun gives him his powers too, but it's also, wasn't it something to do with? He can fly because of the difference in the gravitational pull on his planet and ours, or something to that effect?
Well, yeah, it's mostly because of the way the sun interacts with his biology. Mm. And it kind of unlocks all of these latent features that, not features, but characteristics that all Kryptonians that come to, I almost said to the U.S., but to Earth.
They go through immigration.
Yeah, I'm a little out of it. When they come to Earth, they're going to have some variation of the powers that Superman and Supergirl have. So all we need to do, though, is look no further than John Jones, the Martian Manhunter himself, the last living green Martian, who is, yeah, you know, Superman's good buddy in the Justice League. So,
right.
And of course, Supergirl's mentor on the Supergirl show.
From what we know about life, it seems like you need oxygen and certain temperature ranges.
I do not believe all life needs oxygen.
Okay.
Hmm.
Some life probably just, well, look at trees. Trees don't need oxygen. They need carbon dioxide, right? And they produce oxygen.
Well, they still need oxygen to...
I don't think they need oxygen.
So they could live in an oxygen-free environment?
I don't know. If you put a tree in a...
Well, what turns into the carbon dioxide? They're processing the oxygen and turning it into carbon dioxide.
No, they're taking carbon dioxide and producing oxygen.
Or sorry, yeah, wrong. I had it the other way around. They're producing the oxygen. But does that mean that they wouldn't need oxygen?
My simple mind believes they do not.
Mm-hmm. Just think of this. Since trees put out oxygen, we just basically all breathe tree farts all day.
Or burps.
All right. Or burps, yeah.
So that was an interesting question. I think just for listeners, too, I just looked this up on which university is this?
Wikipedia.
all plant cells need oxygen to live because without the oxygen, they can't perform aerobic respiration, which is the process of breaking down food to get energy.
So they do need oxygen.
That makes sense.
They do, but they also release it.
As a byproduct.
Right. So can they breathe themselves?
Well, they do it.
Darth?
Really, when you think about it, it's... They really do, though, if you think about it, because look at like a greenhouse where it's, you know, fairly, I mean, there's some oxygen in there, but they seal it off. They create their own ecosystem. You ever seen biodomes?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. With Pauly Shore. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's where I get my science from.
Pauly Shore is the man.
Yep. We're nailing it here.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they do find more. It seems like as time goes on, they do keep finding more and more out about these planets. I know they just crashed the satellite over on Jupiter as well, I think it was. It had just run its course and all of that fun stuff. And so they're definitely always learning. It's just a shame that they don't have the program funded as fully as they once did.
Exactly. No, this is cool. This is cool, though. I like this kind of conversation.
So do I. Now, Elon Musk, you know, he owns those two great companies, SpaceX and Tesla Motors. Now, Tesla Motors, they're, what is it, the Model 3? Is that what it's called? That's like their big one, their really fast one.
Yeah, I forget.
Now, when they're charging the batteries in there, if you overcharge them, is there any, do you think they could like bulge or explode or anything?
Maybe, but you know, one thing real quick on Tesla Motors, did you see where they're going to be making their money? They're anticipating making the bulk of their money going forward here in the near future is not in the electric cars, but they've got photos got leaked of an electric semi truck.
I did hear about that. I didn't know it was them, but I did hear about that was one of the avenues they were going to go because there's so many.
Yep, and so they're looking at getting into that too, which will be a big moneymaker for them. But you were going somewhere with batteries. What do you have for us?
Well, I was trying to set Adam up, but...
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. I was not looking at our show notes. I thought we were still... Okay, but before we go into battery bulge...
that was my nickname in college.
Yeah. Before we go into the battle of the bulge, there's probably some biologists or people that know biology that are listening going, oh, Adam's a moron. Weigh in on our Facebook page once we post this up and throw some facts at us. It'd be kind of cool to hear
absolutely.
From you.
Absolutely.
Throw some knowledge.
Yeah. Speaking of knowledge, sometimes we just need to open up our knowledge heads. And speaking of opening up, we got to split open some batteries.
There's the segues that we're hoping for.
Yep.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
There. Segue completed. So the new iPhone 8 Plus is reportedly splitting open while charging in some cases. Not good.
Yeah, this worries me.
So this the first person to claim this happened is from in Taiwan, saying that her device split open while being charged with a supplied cable and plug adapter, and then there's some photos, and it sure looks blowed up.
Yeah, the photos are crazy, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's popping.
I mean, I'd love my $800 device to do that when I plug it in. That'd be nice.
Hashtag worth it.
Well, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, after talking to Cody last week and reading his article about the camera and just thinking about it, I was like ready to go right away. Like, I'm going to go upgrade right now. I'm not going to wait. Now, I've got to say, after seeing some of this, I've kind of pumped the brakes and like, let's just see what plays out with this, because I don't want to get stuck with a bulging phone.
I don't think you'd get stuck, though. I mean, if this actually happened to you, I think it would be covered under, definitely under Apple Care, but I think definitely under.
Yeah, that's a manufacturer defect. The Apple's going to say, screw you, you bloated it yourself.
Well, and that's the thing, right? They're saying that, you know, a lot of these claims, even though this individual and other people that have come forward with the same claim are saying, nope, we were using just the stock Apple charger. They're doing investigations into seeing if it was, in fact, a third-party charger being used, because they find that that's often the case. And I don't want to deal with that. And so I'm kind of just waiting, because the reality on this is anytime you're releasing millions of products out into the consumer base, you're going to have some that just have defects. It's going to happen. It's no different than when they, have parts per million or whatever in your bottles of ketchup that allows so many parts per million to be bugs. I mean, things like that, it's going to happen. There's going to be defects.
Or the USDA allowing a certain amount of fecal matter to be in your ground beef.
Exactly. And so anytime
you're welcome, listeners.
Yeah, no one is hungry anymore. So
I'd still eat a burger. It's cooked.
I would too if I was feeling better.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head here, Dave. So Apple... Their spokesman said the company's looking into the issues, and this is not the first time it's happened. This stuff really started getting highlighted, though, when Samsung in 2016 with their Galaxy Note had their big battery issues, and it's catching fire. So battery issues have become big news, and considering Apple's selling between 40 to 80 million iPhones a quarter, you're going to have these isolated incidents happening. So just be wary and don't store your phone in kindling while charging.
Right. Or, and under your pillow or something.
I store it on my crotch.
Right. I think, though, for me,
on a cold day, if you're like out in, say if you're over in Green Bay on the frozen tundra.
Oh, I'd be hoping it would burn me up.
Yeah. Well, but I'm just saying, if you had that little warming device, in your crotch, that might be kind of nice.
Why in my crotch? That's the warmest part of your body. I would put it somewhere that's cold, like in my hands.
Because you got to get a bulge somehow.
I'm lacking, I guess.
I'm just kidding.
No.
That's what she said.
I'm sorry. I had to make a bulge joke there. I had to make a bulge joke. Right.
But I do want to. I do want to say one thing here, though.
Just one.
Apple, shame on you, Apple, for even suggesting that it was because you used a third-party charger that this happened. Now, maybe if it wasn't $175 for your charging cable as opposed to $10 for another one. But regardless of that, you can't blame it on the charger, Android, there was issues with the battery with the Note 7, but otherwise there hasn't been issues, and you can buy the most generic chargers and they work just fine. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I've done it many, many times.
Apple's frustrating with their cables because you have to get the certified cable for charging. Otherwise it just won't work. Have you had your phone reject the cable before?
Yeah,
because
I think I did too. Yeah, my 5S when I had
that. That's happened to me where I've got it plugged in. It's like, we don't recognize or trust this charging cable, and you got to replug it in. And I have outdoor solar charger that like unravels, and it's this big solar pack, and there's a USB plug-in on it, and it's supposed to give you about 5 volts, average USB power. Right. Will not charge my iPhone because the iPhone sees the inconsistent current and goes, nope, you're not going to charge.
Oh, really?
So. Now I've got to have like a separate little battery pack. I can charge that with a solar charger and then charge the phone with a battery pack. So,
a lot of batteries.
That is a lot of batteries. if you could use it to stay warm out in the elements. And speaking of elements, guys, speaking of elements, Adobe is announcing Elements 2018.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're bringing some interesting upgrades to this Elements line. Is it worth it, though? So I'm going to hand this one off to Dave to talk a little bit about, because I'm guessing Jason did not put this article in there.
You are correct, sir.
Well,
yes.
let's talk first. Let's talk first about let's talk about what some of the upgrades that they're featuring as kind of the big deals in this upgrade to Elements. Adobe Photoshop Elements we're talking about. And basically what they're looking at is they're trying to better handle within Elements their photo organization and management, with some new features as far as auto curating, which will basically use facial recognition. You know, it'll analyze your images supposedly based on quality, face, subjects, and more, just to help organize things and make it easier to manage your image library if all you're using is Photoshop Elements. They also call this Best Photo. The other one that is kind of crazy, and we'll see if this actually works, but they're calling it the open closed eyes feature, which essentially, you know, how many times have you taken snapshots of a group of family members or kids, or you know your kids or something? There's more than one. You grab a few, trying to catch the kids all looking at you at the same time, or family members or whatever, and inevitably someone's blinking. And you can go fix that in Photoshop with layer masks and all this other stuff. But supposedly Adobe Photoshop Elements is going to have essentially a one-click feature that's going to go ahead, analyze that photo with the blinks in it, and somehow copy that information from another source image with that same person where their eyes are open and do it for you. Now, we'll see if this actually works, because if it does, I assume it's going to show up in Photoshop. You know, because you can do that in Photoshop right now, but it's not an automated process. And my hunch is that it's one of those things that's going to get a lot of people, unfortunately, especially that are a little more in the beginner realm. That's who's usually using Elements. It's going to get them real excited. They're going to spend their money on it, which, I mean, thankfully, Photoshop Elements isn't real expensive. It's going to be, you know, if you own a previous version, it's $79 for an upgrade or $99 to buy it outright. So not horrible. And you can get Adobe Premiere Elements, which is their video editing software, in a bundle with Photoshop Elements for $150 outright or $120 as an upgrade. So but if it really works like they say, it is going to show up somewhere in Photoshop or other tools like that. Now, is it worth it? That's the bigger question, because I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to come right out and I'm going to say no.
I'd say not for a photographer, but for somebody that doesn't have an image editing program or an image management program, this is going to be really great.
GIMP.
It is, but I'm going to still say
Jason's
no.
Jason's using GIMP. Okay.
No, and I am still going to say no. And
I love free software.
This is something that's kind of a touchy issue between you know photographers and in the community and people that are more just like, you know, moms and dads just take a few pictures. They don't think of themselves as photographers, and they absolutely don't need Photoshop.
Right.
So they don't need most of the features that are going to be in Photoshop Elements. The best thing, in my personal opinion, even for them, or if you're a serious photographer, is do yourself a favor. Go try out, before you buy the Elements version, go try out the 30-day trial on the Adobe Photoshop Lightroom bundle. It's called the Photographer's Bundle in their Creative Cloud licensing. It's about $10 a month. And with that, even if you're not going to use Photoshop, you have it if you need it down the road, if you decide to get more into the photography end of things. But I don't care what they add into Elements. I've used it in the past when I was first getting started and didn't know much. Some people will still use Adobe Bridge within Photoshop itself. But if you're looking for something to just help you manage your image catalog and then be able to do some really simple, easy edits, you know, nothing crazy, Lightroom is absolutely the perfect tool for that, because it's going to give you the absolute best image cataloging and everything out there for that price. There are some high-end products that do image cataloging and tagging and keywording, all this stuff that are, you know, pretty expensive. But for most people, Lightroom's going to give them all that functionality, plus the ability to do basically everything you can do in Photoshop Elements except using layers, which, let's be honest, if you're one of those photographers who's not really a photographer, it's a, you know, mom, dad, whatever, you're not going in and doing masking and layers and cloning. You know, you're not doing all of those things.
So
So
I'm going to offer a counter view on that, or a different point of view on this particular
Fight.
Argument.
No.
Because I've been watching my parents use Photoshop Elements for some time now, just because they have an older version, but I've been using Photoshop since version 4.0, and you are absolutely correct that Photoshop itself, like the full version of Photoshop, is way overkill, way too complicated. I'm still new to Lightroom. I still think the organizational features and some of the automatic like creativity tools that are built into Photoshop Elements for making artwork and like collages and stuff like that. Those kind of really quick, easy button style things are going to be a lot easier for certain people to work with than Lightroom itself.
Possibly.
They'll still have the image organization capabilities, but it's like the super easy, simple interface. So I've seen it in action and the comfort level with non-photographer, non-technology folks. Switching into Lightroom is probably the easiest one. The full Photoshop would be way overkill. So,
right. I think that's the key phrase right there is switching.
But the difference would be that with Lightroom and you're paying $10 a month, you're paying $120 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to continue paying that the next year. If they buy Elements, it's $80 one time.
That's true too.
I mean, $120 if it's brand new, or $100 or whatever it is.
Right. That is a fair point there on the cost of it. But the one thing I think the key phrase you said there is the switching, because in a situation like that where they're already comfortable with Elements, absolutely, then it makes sense. But if you're gonna look right now like you were new to this and you're like, I just need something, I would still tend to push people more towards the Lightroom side, not just because I'm a photographer and I use it. I know the program very well.
Sure.
But I still think that if you have no experience between Lightroom, Photoshop Elements, any of that, GIMP, any of the other free software, I still feel that if you were loading it up for the first time and you got the initial, I mean, any software you get, there's going to be a learning curve, but you get that initial look through and you start to understand how easy it is to organize and sort and do all of that kind of stuff. Lightroom definitely has an edge over the bridge-like features, which, not saying bridge is bad or anyone that uses it is horrible. That's certainly not what I'm getting at, but you know, just my personal opinion, I think if you were starting fresh, that's where I'd go. If you're used to Elements, go for it. But the cool thing is with any Adobe products, you're pretty much going to get that 30-day free trial with all of them. So just go download the trials, try them out and see what you like best, I guess.
Yeah. And a lot of the features that are in Elements that, so I agree with you. Lightroom's a more powerful program and it's not difficult. It just takes a little bit of learning. Like Elements would need the learning too. The things that they've got in there that are different though, the artistic overlays, like adding like the text and the photo painting, the collage effects and all these kind of easy things.
Right.
Like I said, for depending on the audience, it could still be a better choice as far as I only want to buy this one piece and it's $100 and you're fair. Done. But I do agree. If you had to pick between the two, Lightroom would be a better suggestion just because of it's so much more flexible.
Yeah, and the thing to keep in mind, Lightroom is kind of its own thing. Photoshop Elements is basically Photoshop Lite. It's going to give you about 80% of the tools that are within Photoshop for photographers.
Yep.
Maybe even 90% of the photography tools in there. So that really, again, gets back to what your intent is, you know, how you plan to use it. If you are wanting to do that stuff, collages and the artistic stuff, it might make more sense to go into the Elements side of it if that's all you're wanting to do. But if you're looking at it from a image management and, you know, easily to share and you can order prints, you can do everything right within there. Lightroom, still more feature rich. And, you know, the cost at $10 a month, it adds up over the course of every year. But we all waste $10 a month on, you know, tons of stuff. And so for most people, it's not a huge deal. Some people really don't like that model, but.
Yep. And that's absolutely
check
right.
Check it out.
Yep. That's cool to see some of that new interesting features that are in there. And if it means they could possibly come to Photoshop, like the full version.
Yeah.
I could see some use for that.
I'm really curious to see if this whole, you know, opening eyes technology they're claiming works. Because I remember when they put in the content aware fill, it's called, where
I remember.
It was supposed to be magical and it would replace this stuff with one click and super easy, and it works sometimes
a little
and
bit.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Here's my luck, it's going to be like open, the eyes will be put in the wrong spot.
Yeah, or it'll be like your dog's eyes or something.
That would be kind of awesome, actually.
I mean, Snapchat does that kind of stuff already, Instagram and Facebook now, yeah, too. So
now you guys are both photographers. Yep. So let me give you this perspective from a non-photographer who might need to have an occasional photo, adjusted, fixed, whatever.
Right.
You don't know how to use the software. It's so occasional that you've never dove in and learned the software. So like all of a sudden I need to fix something. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do it. So what is the average non-photographer to do? My recommendation is, basically hire someone to do it for you.
Yeah.
If you just have a single job or whatever, and the person that I recommend to do any type of Photoshop editing for you is a gentleman named James Fridman. He's awesome. Does an absolute great job. Whatever you want, you just, tell him what you want and he will take care of you. I've seen a lot of his work.
Stunning.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how it ends. So for our listeners who don't know who he is, definitely Google James Fridman.
Yep.
And you can find him on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and just marvel at his work. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm
very
in awe
powerful.
When I
now,
take a look at it.
$10 a month, not a lot. What's the cost of registering a domain name? It can be between 10 and...
What did buttfumes.com cost you?
That was it's $12. So between 10 and 20 bucks, you're going to have a domain name. There was recently a domain name that expired because the company forgot to renew it, and it cost them $3 million in fines.
That's a lot of fines.
It's incredibly fine. And so
fine.
Most domain registrars, if you register a domain name, are going to have auto renewal options, meaning they'll send you a notification. Right. Hey, this is going to expire. Do you want to update your payment information? We'll renew it for you. Because people will squat on domains and wait. And if somebody else will snatch it up if they're waiting for it. So Sorensen Communication found a registrar that doesn't do that, or else they missed something. And so this is a Utah-based telco, which neglected to renew its domain in 2016. And so as these things go, it slipped silently off the internet. Now, this article that I'm reading is off of Sophos.com.
Okay.
And so that's not good. Typically, you're going to have your website's gone, your domain's gone. Things are not going to work right. Your email addresses won't work, et cetera. This company just so happened to be the one that would bring video relay services to deaf, hard of hearing, and speech disabled.
Oh, man.
And so for 3 days in June of 2016, every user that relied on them to place calls, including emergencies, could not. So the FCC was not happy about this for their customers. And it meant that the provider was non-compliant with Communications Act and FCC rules. The FCC disliked it $3 million worth. The fine they imposed on Sorensen Communications was $3 million.
Oof.
So it was $2.7 million to reimburse the Telecommunications Relay Service Fund and a $252,000 penalty. So under the terms of the settlement, Sorensen has also agreed to provide enhanced notices to consumers during outages. Not good. That was really expensive.
What are the odds that whoever let this slip by got fired?
If you're working at that company, you're probably going, I sure hope it was the boss and the owner that did this. So
no, it's a cliff down in accounting. He forgot to hit send.
Yep, classic cliff. So there was another article that I looked at here. It was the 5 all-time domain expirations in internet history. Some of the writing on here does not make sense. This is at whoapi.com. But I remembered a few of these, and I just wanted to bring a couple of these up. Once there was the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
They forgot to renew their domain name in 2010 during a major news brief where they fired their head coach. the domain name was then purchased years or a couple of years earlier, and it expired. And the website was replaced by a couple of boys playing soccer and contact information for the sale.
Oh, boy.
So the organization had to pay the register of the domain, and the website was down for a few days, and so not good. So
how much do they have to pay to get that back?
Let's see here.
Yeah, this doesn't
look that
say.
Up real quick.
Well, you're looking up.
They got the money, of course, but.
Yep. You know, one of the other big ones on that list while you're looking that up was, and I don't know if you remember this, but in 1999, Microsoft forgets to pay for domain renewal for Hotmail. And at the time, Hotmail was like the mail service. It was Yahoo and it was Hotmail. Yep. I Gmail, were they out in 99 or was that just started?
No,
they
weren't. No, I don't think so. Yeah.
So I don't know if this is accurate, but I, if I remember correctly, some guy bought Hotmail.com because it was expired and gave it to Microsoft because he wanted to check his email and couldn't.
Oh, really?
So
they got off lucky.
He was like, well, I need my email. I'll register this. Here you go, Microsoft. That's what I remember from the story. If that's inaccurate, somebody let me know. Jeez. But just goes to show you, anybody out there listening, if you operate a domain name or if you've registered one, hopefully you have it set to auto renew, or at least make sure your notification information is up to date so you don't lose that. Because when somebody scoops that up, they will attempt to turn around and resell it to you at big bucks.
Yeah.
So Jason, you used to have nostalgiagaming.com.
I sure did, buddy.
And that's now for sale for how much?
I just actually, when you posted this article here, I decided to go and check my old domain and see what I could get it for. And you go to nostalgiagaming.com and they're offering it to whoever wants it for $2,600. And I paid $12 a year when I owned it.
Yep. Man. So for the minimal cost, if you own a domain name, it could pay off to hold on to it.
Definitely. I mean, especially, you're doing it for $12, $20 a year. You know, I was just, you know, I think Adam, no, you weren't involved with this, were you? But Dave was. Dave used to. I had a classic gaming website called nostalgiagaming.com. Yep.
I made your logo back in the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were part of it too. And we would review classic games.
Yep.
Dave was the sports guy. He was reviewing all the sports.
Gynocide.
No. No.
Well, it just became so much all of us with stuff in our lives and stuff that we just, you know, I just let it, you know, let it expire. I'm like, I'm never going to do it again, blah, 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 which I should have kept it because it'd be kind of fun still to have that, you know, domain. But I had to let it go. And then a few years later, I wanted to go back and do it. And I saw that it was taken. So then I registered nostalgia-gaming.com.
Oh.
And then I'll let that one go too. And I can't remember how much they want for that one. No, actually, that one's still active. Oh, that's the one that I'm very upset about, by the way. If you go to nostalgia-gaming.com,
mm-hmm. Yep.
The person that owns it stole all of our content that was actually on the server.
Nice.
Every one of our reviews that we wrote with our names on them are on that website.
Wow.
So what can I do, people? Because that is my content. Yes, you own the domain now, but do they own my content, Adam?
Intellectual property, I would say that's probably not accurate.
Okay.
Right. Get on
so,
it.
So, yeah.
Well, who owns it?
It's another country.
Oh.
So maybe I'm kind of screwed there.
Sorry to hear that. Hey, at least your content's still out there shining. Take it back and restart. Go to nostalgia.
Underscore gaming.
No, you can't do underscore.
Gaming nostalgia.
Yeah, gaming nostalgia. Gaming.
Gaming.
Yep.
NostalgiaGameGuru.com.
Now we're just getting crazy. Ooh, NostalgiaGaming.guru.
There you go.
Yeah, you probably could get a .guru domain.
Yeah,
at this
probably.
Point.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, well, speaking nuts. Of gurus, there probably were some gurus at the Google event.
I'm sure there was.
Wait, now.
Some smart dudes.
Okay, because I thought you were making a... Never mind, I'm not even going to say it. Never mind.
What? Oh, gynocide?
No, I thought you were making a bad like Asian reference, like they couldn't say Google and they were saying it like Google. But never mind. You know,
hashtag accidentally racist?
Yeah, no. That's why I was like, whoa, buddy.
No, guru... I'm gonna go guru
Google
this
event.
Guru the answer.
Oh man.
Oh, that's funny.
No,
it's a kangaroo covered in a sticky mess.
Yeah,
it's a guru.
Yeah. Oh my gosh,
I see
horrible.
What you did there.
that was a total Jason joke. I tried to use his voice and everything.
Oh,
I never use that sound effect. I keep forgetting about it.
Was that about the Google event?
Yeah, it was. Well, you did it, Dave. Didn't you make fun of him and you went, "Rrr."
Yeah, a little bit. No, I thought you were doing the car crash sound because the event wasn't that big, in my opinion. I mean, of course, the Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL phones were the superstars of it all with their brand new, you know, attempt to compete with the new Apple iPhones between the 8 Plus and the X that's coming, the Apple iPhone 10. Those are going to be out soon. From all I've heard about them, I don't know much about the Pixel phone or the Pixel phone ecosystem. I hear they're pretty decent from people who use them, but I have zero experience with them myself. I don't know about you guys if you've read any more about them, but
not really. But I do have a tangent here. We should have tangent music.
Yeah.
Google announced its own wireless Bluetooth earbuds called Pixel Buds. Now, as far as I know, these will only work with the Pixel.
Yep.
But they will utilize Google Assistant to make calls, play music. And if you have a Pixel phone, translate up to 40 languages during a conversation while these are in your ears.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet tech.
That's pretty insane. I mean, we're getting there where we have the universal translator from Star Trek. I mean, we could start with 40. I'll take 40.
It's still not as good as the translator from Legends of Tomorrow, where they just swallow this little thing and it actually automatically lets them understand and speak anything.
That would be amazing.
I believe that is called acid.
No. Some kind of bio something.
Man, that tree is talking to me, dude.
Dude, well, I'm talking to Raccoon right now, bro.
Right. Rocket? No, that's DC and Marvel. They don't cross. Okay. Rocket Raccoon is over in Marvel. He's out in space.
Who said it was a rocket? I'm just talking a regular raccoon.
No, any raccoon is always going to be Rocket to me.
Okay.
I'm assuming. But no, they announced I saw a dead
Rocket on the street.
What's that?
Oh, you go ahead.
Oh, I totally missed what you said. Sorry.
I said I saw a dead Rocket on the street.
Yeah. I did that on my Facebook a couple of years back where there was a picture I found on the internet. It was a roadkill, a raccoon, and someone had tied a balloon to it and said,
I saw that.
And said, get well soon. And and so I put it up because here in the area I live in, it seemed like every day there was like 10 different posts of people just posting constantly about their pets that were ill. And so I was feeling like being a smart aleck. And so I said, everybody, if you could please send your thoughts and prayers and everything for my pet dog. He got away. He's feeling a little under the weather. We've got him back home now and he's going to be okay. And I had a picture of this raccoon there and it was pretty funny. I got a lot of people really confused. Like, what are you talking about? Oh my God, is he okay? And I'm like, it's a dead raccoon. I'm making a joke. Sometimes awesome. I'd like to have fun with my Facebook, but
I remembered you doing that. I remember that.
Yeah. And so, you know, some of the other stuff we talked about, the Google Home Mini that leaked, and we talked about that two episodes ago, I think, where, you know, kind of the competitor to the Amazon Dot, but I don't know. I'm not really too excited about that. Google Home Max, which is just a large home speaker, aimed to compete with products from Apple and Sonos. It's going to be spendy, about $400, and be out in December. I don't know. Again, I'm not really super pumped about spending $400 on a, you know, smart speaker. I guess I just don't have a need for it. Google Clips.
Well, how about $800?
Well, maybe. You might have me there.
Let's see what's going on over at Apple.
Yeah. I mean, Google Clips. This is an always-on camera for shooting your pets. And it says pets and sprogs, but I don't know what that is. It says it's got on-device AI.
Get out of here, Rover.
It's on-device AI picking the best time to take a picture while still ensuring your privacy. It says just set it and forget it. Come back 30 minutes later to a beautiful photo set of your little puppy destroying your petunias. I don't know. It's a lot of gimmicky stuff. A Pixel Book, you know, hybrid laptop, tablet, phone running Chrome OS. Kind of sounds like maybe they're going to kill off the Chromebook idea. I don't know.
They're coming out. It's a newer version of the Chromebook.
Okay.
The OS is going to be a little bit different. But Dave, you understand why they had this event and you understand why they're releasing so many more products right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they just were competing because Apple just had their launch. Amazon just had their launch.
It's worse than that. Google just paid Apple $3 billion to remain the default search engine on iOS devices.
Oh, really? Okay.
How much?
$3 billion to be the default search engine on iOS devices. Is that not insane?
Yeah. Well, they know they're going to recoup that just through their advertising and usage of their service on 40 but to 80 million devices a quarter that are going out.
But that is a crazy amount of money just to be
the
default. That's
a lot of money.
It is. But that's the first thing I'm thinking of is, you know, because the Google Mini Home, I believe, is like $130, right?
It's,
that's not cheap like the Dot, if I remember right. I know they have a lot of products. And I might be confusing it.
Yeah, no, the Google Mini Home or Home Mini, whatever it's called, that's going to be about $49, $50.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Sure. it was the new full size, but a little bit smaller Echo.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was still like $130, $140.
I mean, it's cool that they're pushing. And, you know, I saw a headline today that said, you know, forget the war on megapixels and things like that, or the PC versus Mac. The new war that's on right now really is Google versus Amazon. And, you know, that's what we're seeing. Although I had it pointed out to me, I'm in a group on Facebook for Amazon Alexa users or whatever it was called. And I did mention, you know, a little while back I was chatting on there and asked them what they thought about this Google Home Mini coming out to compete with the Dot. And it was obviously this is a biased group because they're fans of the Amazon devices, but they were resoundingly saying, and it was a good point, saying, yeah, big deal. It can do this. The Amazon device has been out for more than a year already, and Google is just catching up with that. So sounds like Amazon might not even be too concerned about it, but they have to be because at the rate they keep pushing out new stuff, in the end, as we've said before, it's all boiling down to we as consumers benefit greatly from it. So, but overall,
push it real good.
Yeah. Overall, I can't say I was super excited about it. The best news coming from the Google event was how Walmart apparently screwed up, you know, by leaking out the Google Home Mini and possibly the new Pixel phone on its website a day early. To me, that was the best part about it, that it just happened. Oh, I see in the show notes you found my picture from my social media post there. So,
yep. Well, not from your post. I just Googled "get well soon raccoon."
Oh, nice. Yeah, we'll see if we can stick that in our show notes here.
Now, do you guys think that some of this tech is just ahead of its time?
Some maybe.
Sometimes, yeah, exactly. You know, and if it's not coming out at the proper time, it very well could flop.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to have a proper flopper. It's not.
Well, speak for yourself, dude. My flopper is always proper.
I'm gonna level with you because I honestly did not think of that in any kind of weird way. I was just trying to make a rhyme to get over into the
when my flopper drinks tea, it extends its pinky because it's proper.
You, sir, don't need to have a proper flopper.
So, I'm always a flipping and a flopping my flopper.
A flip flop, you don't stop until the. So we've got eight infamous tech flops that were way ahead of their time.
Yeah.
So one of you guys put this in the show notes, and this is actually a pretty cool article. Just kind of any article that starts off, and this is at digitaltrends.com. Any article that starts off with a Nintendo Power Glove,
yeah,
I'm interested in reading that.
Right. Yeah, I saw this and I was browsing through Flipboard the other day and I saw this article.
Flop,
I was like,
Flopboard.
Yeah, Flopboard. No, it's Flipboard. but I saw it and I was like, boy, this is a really cool article. And so I figured this would be something fun to talk about on the show. And so basically the gist of it is they're gonna, you know, they list out, we don't necessarily have to go through all eight, but they list out eight different items of technology that came out and were way ahead of their time, but they severely flopped when they first hit the market. Now, you mentioned the Power Glove already, you know, and that's something, what are they saying that was the precursor to? Let me find it here.
Well, probably to like the Xbox Kinect. I mean, you don't have a glove, but...
Yep, Oculus Rift and other motion controllers.
The
Wiimote, like
PlayStation Move, motion controllers, yeah. And so... And also,
can I point out something? You can also see the Power Glove, I believe, in the Kung Fury show.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched Kung Fury, go to YouTube. It is free.
I mean, let's be honest, though. What would you rather use as a controller right now? Those dumb Wii remotes or a couple of sweet Power Gloves, one on each hand?
I actually used a power glove, so I can answer this. It sucked.
No, but like one that worked.
It
like
was
now.
Horrible. Maybe if it was made today, maybe it'd be much better. But I trying to control Mario and stuff by flipping a little pinky to jump and, you know, doing all that kind of crazy stuff. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Well,
considering that we have, maybe they'll come out with another, maybe Nintendo will go crazy and like, okay, we have
power glove. Power glove.
Yeah, we need a power glove to that'll
imagine
interact
how
the Switch.
Good bang finger will be with a power glove.
You're stealing my joke.
Dave,
skipping the cutscene.
Wah, wah. I skipped right to the end. That's another good podcast I listen to. Skip to the end.
Excellent.
I'm sorry,
but yeah, you said it. No. That's good because great minds think alike.
This is just a slow working sick mind tonight.
Why don't you take us through some of these items that were possibly ahead of their time, but did not take.
Yeah, we'll just blast through them quick here. So first up, they give us the Apple's Newton message pad back in 1993. And of course, this would be the precursor, of course, to the iPhone or the iPads and stuff.
Thinking about cellular devices back
then. But in a lot of ways, though, when you think about them, how the phones have gotten so big.
Well, actually, 93 they were. I got my first cell phone in 95. I'm sorry.
Yep, yep. And this was a $700.
Let's all interrupt Dave and not let him talk.
No, this is a $700 first gen
device. No, let's
not
do that, Adam. Come on.
What's next?
No need to be dicks about this. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'll erase that from my audio file. Go ahead.
Leonard Nimoy came out.
Yeah, keep it clean. This is a family podcast.
Yeah, jeez. You guys remember the Laserdisc, of course. Right?
Adam, you didn't interrupt him. Dang it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You guys remember the Laserdisc, of course, right?
Yes.
Yes, and I actually did know somebody that owned one, so I got to actually see it, you know, watch some movies on it.
Yep, we used to use them.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, we'd use them in our school. In the library, we'd have stuff there. We'd watch on them now and then. But, of course, those are precursor to the DVD and Blu-ray presentations. This one I thought was interesting. I don't really remember this, but it was in 1996 called the Sony Glasstron.
Yeah, I don't remember it either.
No, when you look at it, it's like a little box the guy's holding. It reminds me of like the old Sony Discmans, but it's essentially VR headset from back in the day that's going to bring this screen right up, you know, to the eyes. They're touting it as being the viewing experience of a 52-inch TV at 6.5 feet inside of twin 0.55-inch LCD screens. So
I do have to say this guy is way too happy. Go ahead.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of the bass player from Rage Against the Machine for some reason. I don't know why. Tom Morello? I forget his name. There was the Polaroid Polavision commercial, and that was a camera, film, and movie viewer. Lets you rapidly develop your motion picture and screen it. You know, this, they're saying, was kind of precursor to like the camcorders and everything else. You know, with today's day and age with smartphones where they're shooting movies on them, of course, different, but web TV precursor to, of course, now, you know, most TVs you buy are a smart TV of some sort, even though they were made fun of relentlessly back then.
Oh yeah.
And first picture phone, 1970 from AT&T archives, bargain price, they say about $160 a month. Plus 25 cents a minute after a free half hour, you could call one of the other 100 or so picture phones scattered throughout the U.S. Of course, precursor to Skype, FaceTime, those kinds of things.
Now, this is surprising. The Sega Dreamcast is on here.
Yeah.
It's not really.
You know what it did?
I guess.
What it did.
It was at the. Go ahead.
Dude. No, you go ahead, Jason. You're the Dreamcast.
How would I go?
Go ahead, Adam.
I have nothing.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hey, you guys go ahead. Eh? I'm sorry.
What?
Go ahead, Cody.
Cody's out here. Now, they were at the forefront of online gaming.
Yeah.
If you remember right, they had the built-in. They were the first console that actually had built-in
the modem.
And it was originally it had a 56K modem, I believe, but then you could hook up. You could pull that out and hook in their Ethernet adapter,
right?
You know, for people that had broadband. But it was the first online experience playing head to head with other people.
Yeah.
You know, had the leaderboards. You know, the area where you can, what do you call it? chat rooms or whatever, yep, where you get in there and talk before you start a game. So, I mean, they DLC were at the forefront there.
Nice.
I thought you said TLC.
No, the DLC, downloadable content.
I know, I'm joking.
Yeah, but think about this. That was back in 1998, which, I mean, it's been a while, but that doesn't feel like that long ago.
No, it doesn't.
That's crazy, though, because, nice, I mean, we're coming up on 20 years there. So, yeah, some interesting tech where when you really look at it, definitely ahead of its time, but, you know, it really helped spawn on some, you know, very cool new stuff that we use every day today. So
it showed some major innovation back then, mm-hmm, and a lot of these cases, the tech wasn't able to keep up with, you know, what they're trying to do. Like, there's no internet connection available for some of this stuff to have a real benefit. There's no, movies that are shot on high def enough stuff, to, you know, for some of these displays, et cetera, et cetera. So,
right.
I'd like to transition us over into movies.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about movies. And let's talk about It.
Talk about what?
It.
What? Yeah, It what? What do you want to
talk
about?
We've talked about It before. You know, who's on first? No. if you guys have been listening, if listeners have heard the last few shows, we've talked a little bit about the movie It, and I was waiting to go to see the movie It with my friend Jesse. We went and checked it out. We just talked for a few minutes. We did kind of an interview in the vehicle, and then we kind of brainstormed on some ideas on fears that that It could take on in real life. So there are a few spoilers in here. So if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to hear about it, skip ahead the next 6 minutes. But otherwise, do we want to roll that beautiful bean footage?
Yeah. And just so you guys know, Adam, you recorded this. You guys recorded it in your car. So this is literally the man on the street interviews.
Yeah. It's this iPhone.
The man in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like technically carpool on the street. We weren't off-roading. So
yeah, it's kind of like carpool karaoke without any singing.
Next time you do one of these, why don't you sing your review? That would be awesome. All right, well, here we go. Let's go ahead and listen to Adam and Jesse's little review of It.
So this is Adam along with Jesse. We just went and saw the It movie, and we're going to talk about first impressions a little bit here. It was pretty disturbing.
Yeah. pretty disturbing. Really doesn't do it justice, actually. That was monumentally disturbing in some places.
Yep. So it was pretty good. You could tell we liked it. Now, it had quite a few jump scares, but also a lot of just plain creepy stuff. And I don't remember the full details of the book. I don't know if you do either, but how closely, you know, to the original source material this was, couldn't tell you.
I couldn't either. I read it probably when I was in sixth grade.
Oh, sixth grade?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I was on a Stephen King kick, and I tell you what, reading Salem's Lot in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Always a good choice.
Yeah, it was.
Good choice. Now, in the clown room, and by the way, spoilers, in the room filled with clowns, one of them looked like the original, 1980s miniseries from ABC, Pennywise. Yep. Which, by the way, is the only thing that I can compare this to, because I haven't fully read the book. I'm maybe a fourth through it. But I thought that was set up pretty well. A lot of good humor with the kids, swearing a lot. A lot of your mom jokes. Fat kid looking like Hamburger Helper. But thoroughly creepy, especially that... I think Jesse and I were both talking right when we got out of the theater that the scene with the flute playing painting
from hell
was quite disturbing. Note to self, don't buy that painting.
Oh, Lord love a duck. That was
sleep with the lights on.
Oh, that the they set the creepiness, just it was,
yep,
the I'm going to sound all hoity-toity here, but the ambiance of the sets that they had it was perfect.
I'd agree.
They couldn't have picked... I really don't think they could have picked better child actors. They pulled it off. They gave what really appeared to be genuine emotion, and...
Yep. Well, I think with kind of classic Stephen King, if you look at, Stand By Me, and... what's that other one? Not Tommyknockers, but the... Dreamcatcher...
I never saw Pet Cemetery. I don't know.
But, you know, and so a group of kids going to do something together, and you know, it's pretty interesting. It's kind of one of his shtick things, like kind of like everything set in Maine as well.
Yeah, he's really good at that. So
yeah, overall it's pretty good. There's some creepy, disturbing stuff in there. A lot of good jump scares. I think the theater we were in, for some reason, must have had like extra 50,000 subwoofers in it, because it's like they're walking down the steps and it's like, brrr. Like, what is going on back there? Is there like a super creak? I don't know.
It was
super bass. Like you
felt it in your chest.
We're at the theater in Hutchinson, Minnesota, experiencing the deepest, loudest bass. I can't believe that things weren't vibrating. I think my license plate outside was vibrating, or Jesse's was. So. But it was pretty good. I think it was worth the $8, and happy to see that they split this off, and we'll see how the next chapter of it goes when they come back and fight it as adults. So I guess we'll just wait 27 years for these kids to get older.
And then re-release. Years.
No, I heard they're doing like 2019, I think.
Well, that won't be bad.
No, it won't be too bad. No. So, all right. Well, that's our take on it. Catch you later. Okay. So, as we were driving, I had this thought.
Uh-oh.
So, if in the movie It,
yeah,
it manifests your greatest fears.
Yes.
What are some of the things that it would do to get you? So, I mean, like...
Yeah, I'm not terribly sure I want that going on a podcast being broadcast to the whole planet.
So I'm thinking, like, all of a sudden, it transforms into a stack of unfinished, unsuccessful projects at work. And that is just a huge nightmare. Or...
Oh, for you?
Yeah, sure. Or it turns into...
Are we talking realistic fears here?
Yeah, realistic fears, like, it turns into a cast iron frying pan that lands on my foot. Or it turns into...
Son of a...
Yep, dong. I mean, that really sucks. Yes. I'm afraid of that.
No, okay. Yeah, okay.
It's like, it turns into, like,
I think you left the stove on, Larry. Ha, ha, ha.
Or maybe it's like...
No, mine would be, you left the toilet seat up again!
It just turns into any female talking about the toilet seat. Okay, how about it turns into... Oh, boy. This is really tough now. I'm running out of... What are some mundane fears that it could take advantage of? Like, I mean, maybe going back to the miniseries, okay. Maybe a spider.
For some people, a spider. One of the Just the one of the things that just sets my teeth on edge. Thinking back on a memory, I got a massive sliver lodged underneath my fingernail.
Oh.
And I had to pull it out with a pair of nail clippers and a razor blade. Okay, so, just thinking about that or maybe watching
Screen pops up out of Pennywise's body and just plays that. Or like somebody getting a cut in the web of their finger. Or what if it turns into like, oh, it looks like a chocolate chip cookie, and then you take a bite, oh, it's raisin.
I'm in hell!
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't expecting that at all. Disappointed.
Oh, okay. So if I say that I like raisins in my cookies, will you ever speak to me again?
But if you're expecting chocolate chip and you get raisin, I don't know. It's kind of like getting kicked in the crotch a little bit.
Yeah, no.
All right, that's all I got. Thanks.
And we are back. Hey, that was pretty cool there, Adam. I do have to point out, though, real fast, because, you know, we have listeners that have listened to us for a while. Now, Jesse's girl does think Adam is the best host on the show, and I'm still upset about that.
Jason's always trying to stir the pot here. So what do you guys think as far as it taking on, what would it take on for you? Because we were really kind of, we started joking around about it a lot, of course. Mm-hmm. So in the movie It, again, we're still spoilers here, it can take on the shape of things that people fear. And there was some really, really creepy stuff in there. What about you guys? What could Pennywise turn into that would freak you out?
Zombie versions of my kids or wife or kids or parents. That would
oh,
be...
you're going serious. I thought we were going to
yeah,
think
Dave
a
went
joke.
Serious.
Well, that was all
we can so we can start with that. Yeah. But then for me, maybe it would be zombie versions of Dave's kids too.
Yeah, because like they'd eat the crap out of your brains. I'm telling you.
Oh,
my kids are monsters.
I think mine would just be Dave. Yeah, just finally normal so Dave. Dumb. All of a sudden, normal Dave's there. I'd be like, oh my God.
Wait, who's normal Dave? I'm usually Dave.
Oh,
that would be my fear, waking up and just being just normal Dave. Oh man. I'd be scared. Like I'd come around a corner and all of a sudden I'd see someone else leading my dive team.
Whoa. No. That ain't cool, man.
No,
you know, Chad.
Yeah.
All of a sudden Chad's in my house. He's like behind me or
this is
he
Chad.
He he creeps up and he like an elevator, you know how you do those little escalator mm-hmm. yeah, or elevators behind a wall. If he like elevatored up on the side of my bed, that would freak the crap out of me.
Well, you guys are all going serious.
No, like that. It's hard to top the one that you gave though. When you guys are talking about, I'm going to bite into this nice warm chocolate chip cookie. Oh, it's a raisin.
That sucks.
I mean, like, I will.
Oh, this pizza's not finished cooking in the middle.
Yeah, I've got to agree with Jesse though.
Thanks, Pennywise.
There is something to be said about a good chocolate chip oatmeal raisin cookie. But
I've never had a chocolate. I've had oatmeal raisin. I've never had chocolate chips.
Oh, you haven't lived yet. Go find yourself one and report back. Do us a first taste video as you're doing it. No, my other one that I thought, and it's kind of serious, but you know, kind of joking at the same time, is every time I went to open my camera bag, I opened it up and I found my cameras just in pieces, big holes in my lenses, you know, glass broken, all that kind of, that would be horrible for me too.
I think sometimes at the end of a day, like a work day,
mm-hmm.
if I like, what if I went out to my car and I sat down and all of a sudden it was 8 a.m. again and I had to do, and it was like, didn't I just work? And then you had to do a do-over.
Yeah. Like
a little bit Groundhog Day.
Yeah, but instead of Groundhog Day, you don't get to go to bed at night or do anything fun. It's like every time you leave work, it just starts immediately. You're like right there. Yeah, that would be horrible.
You're stuck in the. You're just stuck in a crappy loop. It wasn't like an awesome loop where you're like,
yeah.
I know you were gonna say the triplets. I know.
What? No.
The Dom triplets. You were gonna say
I don't know what. I don't know what that is, but
Minnesota.
I haven't heard that name in years.
No, they just popped up on the radar just like within the last week. There was a story on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the only reason
what
why.
Were they a Maxim memory. Magazine models or?
Playboy. I think that's, that's why they popped up because they were, you know,
the
they were Playboy models. Yeah, and then
I've never heard of these people.
Oh, yeah, they were set of triplets from Minnesota that were big, probably early 2000s, I suppose.
Okay, guys, I've got the perfect segue for our next segment.
Yeah,
you guys want to talk about Harrison Ford movies?
No, next.
All right, well, weekly garnish time, guys.
what is that?
That was Harrison Ford talking.
Oh, okay. Oh, man,
I want my family back.
I just seen Harrison Ford on one of the late night talk shows, and you know, love the dude. I've always loved the dude, but man, he seems like he's kind of out there now. I think almost like a slight senility setting in.
Maybe, I also saw where, because they're all promoting Blade Runner, of course, which is why we kind of bring up Harrison Ford. Blade Runner 2049, just opening. And apparently on the talk show circuit and all the interviews they're doing between him and Ryan Gosling, he is just busting Ryan Gosling's chops nonstop, like tearing him down and just having a blast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess he's just having a blast, giving him the hardest time in these interviews, but... the other thing, we will link this up in the show notes, but there's this a link that you can see. They don't show anything other than just a still photo, but I guess there was a moment in the movie during the filming where Harrison Ford actually punched Ryan Gosling right in the face for real. Didn't pull it enough. And you see the picture, Harrison Ford, he just looks totally embarrassed, like, oh, Ryan Gosling's just like, oh, what the it was brilliant. I thought it was so hilarious. Well,
He was, I just remember where I saw him. He was on Jimmy Fallon, and they were actually drinking alcohol. I don't know what they were drinking, some type of whiskey or something.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know if that was to cover up how weird he was acting.
Oh.
But if you watch that that clip, he talks about that, and he actually makes a comment. He says, oh, yeah, they make a big deal about me hitting them. I had just pulled 40 punches and just missed them every time, and the one time I connect, they have to make a big deal about it.
It's so funny, though. The image is great, but... We were,
but we're talking about our favorite Harrison Ford movie. Let's do this.
Since we're doing that, sure. You know, we wanted to go through and I'd seen this list. They kind of went through and ranked the Harrison Ford movies in order, but it's a long list. The guy's been in a ton of movies. I thought it'd be fun just to hear what you guys thought about what were your favorite, you know, Harrison Ford movies sure. that you've seen.
And mine are going to be super easy because Indiana Jones. That series,
mm-hmm.
Not including the very last one, although I didn't mind that as much as everybody else. I just watched Raiders of the Lost Ark with my daughter earlier this week.
Nice.
And she covered her eyes appropriately during the Ark scene. But the rest of it, she really, really enjoyed those kind of old classic serial adventure movies.
Right.
Harrison Ford's the perfect actor in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Star Wars, you know, the classic Ford movies for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd have to agree. Those two are excellent picks. I mean, you can't go wrong with either one of them. What would you pick aside from Star Wars? Jason, what do you have aside from Star Wars and Indiana Jones?
Well, okay. So my favorite of all time happens to actually be a TV series or show and not a movie.
Okay.
But then you had to throw that stupid stipulation in there now. But I'm still going to go with it, even though you said that. The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh.
Absolute greatest ever. There's nothing better.
Man.
Oh, man.
No. I do have another one that I thought was really, really good
mm-hmm.
that every time I see it, I watch the whole thing. Or if it's on TV, I'll start watching it and finish it out. Air Force One.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. That was good.
Love that movie.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. was going to say like The Fugitive and what was the other one right about that same time?
Patriot Games?
Patriot Games, was that the one? That could be, yeah.
That might be, you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah, because he played Jack Ryan. So Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger, those are both decent for those just kind of adventure, you know, action movies, basically.
Now imagine Mark Wahlberg playing these. We're in Clear and Present Danger.
We got a lot of danger around here.
Now, I completely forgot he was in this movie because I only watched half of it before I turned it off.
You guys seeing this? You can't do that to me. I'm the president. Get off my plane.
Cowboys.
Oh, man. I'm so bad at impressions.
Yeah, but this is really good. Horrible. Like, Showtwound, get our stuff.
It was the one-armed man.
It wasn't me.
Anyways, what were you saying, Jason?
Cowboys and Aliens.
See, I don't think I ever.
That was pretty decent.
I don't think I ever saw it.
I couldn't finish it. I don't know why. I for some reason I had to stop it, and I just never felt the need to go back to it.
Hmm.
It was so, you know, I'm probably one of those people that doesn't. I don't know. I like a lot of these movies just because the concept's cool, and it was no, you know, it doesn't stack up to his other big movies. That's for sure. But it's just kind of a.
Do you guys remember when he played the villain in with Michelle Pfeiffer in what was it called? What Lies Beneath?
I saw that one time. That was a good movie.
That's where he killed his wife, right?
Yep, yep. Yeah, he was there. Sick. You know, he also did, if you remember, the kind of awkward romantic comedy with Anne Heche, who was, you know.
6 Days, Seven Nights.
Yeah, 6 Days, Seven Nights. You know, it's kind of, I mean, it was tough because that was right during the time when it was, you know, she had just really made a big deal about coming out as being a lesbian. And then you see her in a romantic comedy where,
yep,
her and Harrison Ford are trying to be, you know, romantic.
He might have turned her. He's a sexy guy.
Yeah, he's like, well, I'll just come over here and we'll have a good time. It'll be fun.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's got some great stuff, though. Listeners, though, we'd love to hear from you. Now, this says he was an Anchorman too, and I'm trying to remember.
We just crashed our plane. Sorry, I'm still doing Mark Wahlberg.
I'm trying to remember what he did. In Anchorman, it's been a while, and my brain just isn't working here right now. But
Don't recall.
Yeah, but that's a good movie. But yeah, I mean, we'd love to hear from the listeners, you know, not only what your favorites are, and I'm going to throw a caveat out there. Of course, for the listeners, everyone's going to pick Star Wars and the Indiana Jones characters. Tell us your non-Star Wars, non-Indiana Jones favorite Harrison Ford movies or moments and why you liked them. We'd love to hear that. Get a hold of us either on Twitter or Facebook for that. So,
real quick story that I remember from him being on an interview with Conan O'Brien. Harrison Ford, as you guys might know, is a pilot, and I believe he's a helicopter pilot as well, if I remember right. And anyway, he took part in like a rescue of something, of somebody after something happened, and so he was the helicopter pilot. They had to fly in and like pick somebody. I don't know if it was out of the water or what. And Conan O'Brien was like, so let me get this straight. This woman's sitting there waiting to be rescued, and all of a sudden she looks up and Indiana Jones is pulling her up from a helicopter. And I got such a kick out of that, because how surreal would that be if Harrison Ford just like showed up to
no kidding, right?
to help you. So
you'd have to think you were dead and you were just like hallucinating this or something.
I'm dead.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our wrap up on the show with the weekly garnish, we do need to take just a minute and remind people that we are part of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network, which you can find over at gunnageek.com. This week, I want to tell you guys about a show that's out there, really fun show called the Operation Pug Podcast, P-U-G. The Pugcast, as they refer to it, is from the creators of the Operation Pug web cartoon. They talk about video games, tech news, pop culture, and all things nerdy, as well as behind the scenes features on their Operation Pug web cartoon. They have a really fun show. Really on the network, there's a couple shows that kind of are in some ways similar to ours, and you know, that aren't really, they're different, but they're similar topics, I guess, you know, the gaming, the movie, stuff like that. And this is one of them that I always recommend to people because it's a lot of fun. So if you like what you're hearing over at Digital Soup, go check out the Operation Pug Podcast, which you can find over at GunnaGeek.com as part of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. So what do you guys think about Stranger Things coming back?
Wait, hold on a second.
I haven't seen
now.
The first season.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Is this the Weekly Garnish?
This is the Weekly Garnish.
Okay, so hold on. Weekly Garnish. Okay, there you go.
Now nice. You got to do that every week. You know that, right?
No, yeah. You know, Jesse sent me an audio file of an intro to the Weekly Garnish, and it deleted itself off my phone. So,
Jesse, resend that.
Yeah. I'm going to have him re-record and resend it, and we'll get one in there with something we can play off the cart wall.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be cool. But yeah,
all right, Stranger sorry for things. The interruption.
Stranger Things Season 2.
Planger.
Yeah, it's Stranger Things. It's coming at the end of October. But
why is everything upside down?
they have on your mobile device, iPads, phones, whatever it is, they have released a mobile game. It's called Stranger Things The Game. Super original title, but basically this is kind of a top-down pixel adventure game. It's real similar, reminds me a lot of like, you know, the style and view of like Zelda and things like that. The nice thing is I've been playing it for a little while, the last day or two, just kind of messing around with it. And it's actually a lot of fun. It's super easy to control. How Sega, when they came out with their, you know, re-releases like Altered Beasts and stuff we talked about, they put those awkward controls right on the screen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This isn't like that. It's really just a tap, you know, you just tap on the screen to move. When you're going to fight stuff, you just tap on the enemy, or if you're going to collect things, whatever it is. And it's kind of a nice, you know, action adventure puzzler game with that top down pixelated feel. Looks actually pretty good as far as the graphics and kind of keeping that, you know, 80s retro gaming theme. So
nice.
They have some things built into it as well where you collect certain items, and once you get all these items, it's going to unlock a special teaser or a special trailer for season 2 of Stranger Things that you're not going to see anywhere else, apparently. Best part is, though, this game is absolutely free. No freemium content, no microtransactions. You just jump in and play. It has two difficulty settings, the normal mode, which is what I'm playing on now. And what they consider, they call it the classic mode, which they say is for hardcore gamers only. They're talking seriously 1984 difficulty levels on this. So I
like
didn't want
bullets coming off the screen and killing him, and you had no chance to even get out of the way.
I didn't want to do that because I just wanted to check it out and have fun with it. But it's actually a lot of fun. The puzzles are good. It's, you know, not super hard.
I'm guessing that's the music to the game there, Adam.
Yep, I just installed it.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it's a pretty big download, 300 and something gigs, but it's actually
what?
Megabytes. I'm sorry, not gigabytes. Sorry.
Yes, I've downloaded 300 gigs to my iPhone.
300 megabytes.
That was a lot of. That's a lot of gigs.
Yeah.
No. Yes, it's just a 12 terabyte install. It's not that bad.
No, but the game itself, I'm kind of hooked on it. Like any game on my phone, I don't know that I'll play it long term or finish the game or beat it or whatever. But I for being able to jump in and out, it's actually a lot of fun. You can explore. They've got maps. You get other characters that all have, you know, each of the playable characters will have their own abilities and all this stuff. And I mean, there's this section I just went through now where you run in. You're like in the woods there trying to get to the, what do they call it, the Upside Down, and there'll be like a fallen log across the trail that you're trying to go to, and you click on it. It says you need to get somebody to break through this for you, and then you'll notice there's like
Kool-Aid Man.
No, but it's actually pretty cool. There's like beehives you'll see that are buzzing around, and you go around a corner or, you know, just off the screen to the next screen over, and there's a bear, and so you have to time it and you shoot these beehives to drop honey, and you have to basically do it and get out of the way and let the bear go crashing through this log so he opens a path for you. And it's, you know, really cool how they did some of these puzzles. It's, you know, a lot of fun. So
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, how would Mark Wahlberg say that bear was crazy?
I don't know. Now I lost my wall, but I'm all self-conscious about it.
You're crazy, bear.
That bear is crazy. That's almost getting Christopher Walken-ish, but not quite.
Wow, that bear is crazy. I can't explain its activity. It's not
it probably
that
needs
good.
More cowbell.
It's
right?
Sure, yeah. Not a transformer.
And Mark Wahlberg doesn't actually talk with like transformer, but we're still making it
it's
sound
a
like that because.
Because that's his.
Are you Optimus Prime?
That's kind of Elmer Fudd meets Mark Wahlberg, right?
Yeah.
Be very careful.
I'm hunting a bear.
There's Decepticons out here.
Oh, yes.
So, gentlemen, we are time. 42 is the meaning of life, according to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. We are on episode 42, are we not?
That is right.
Yes.
Awesome. That has nothing to do with anything other than I wanted to acknowledge 42. So, folks, listeners, please go check us out at digitalsuitpodcast.com, where you can find everything about us. You can subscribe to us in multiple different methods. You can check out all of our social media. We got everything. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook Hangout.
We're on Twitter?
You guys are tweeting now. I did. So you know, please go like our Facebook page. And well, that makes it sound like I'm begging. You know, do it if you want.
Just do it.
If you feel it in your heart, if you feel it deep in the cockles of your heart, go do it. Leave us a review on iTunes.
Sub-cockles?
Yep.
Splendiferous.
Yep, that's right. That's a Dennis Leary thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you got it. That's awesome.
So with that, again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for you guys that are sending us in your answers and hanging out and just talking with us online. This is just a blast to do every week. We love getting together, just being friends, hanging out, and making you guys part of that.
Absolutely.
So we appreciate it. And from all of us here at the Digital Suit Podcast, all of you, have a good one. Take it easy.
Take care, guys.
Wait a Gators.
Intro background music is The Run by Kai Engel, licensed under an attribution license through Creative Commons. See you Gators later. You guys gatoring?
I'll gator if you want a gator.
Yo, can I get some help? I need some gator wing.
I got Gatorade. Oh man, Mark Wahlberg could kick the crap out of any of us.
No,
not me. No.
Come on, come on. Feel it, feel it. Yeah,
he wouldn't because with him and the three of us, we've just got those good vibrations.
Jeez.
Yeah, loved you in Rockstar, Marky.